Hello, do I have the mic now? I just want to make sure, because when I first took it, Jay also took it. Yeah, it created a funky look on my end. Okay, good. Hi, everyone. This is Regina, and it is time now for the guiding lights. And the guiding light is the time that I read directly from the Bible, and I'm reading from the book of John. And last week we were reading in John chapter 8. Actually, it was 2 weeks ago. I wasn't here last week. I think last week Pal Talk was being funky. And also I was creating web pages for the fall retreat. I was pretty occupied, so I didn't come last week. So it was 2 weeks ago. But we are reading from John chapter 8. And we read up to verse 47 in John chapter 8. And one of the things that the primary thing that Jesus was talking to us about was that we are slaves to our thoughts, or at least he was asking us to look and see if we are slaves to our thoughts. And he was pointing out to those who wanted to kill him that the only reason they wanted to kill him is because they were slaves to their thoughts. And they would not feel that way if they were not so addicted to their own thinking, their own thought system. And in fact, he referred to the ego as the father of lies. Let's see if I can find. He says, "You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So again, even though the language in the Bible is quite strong, what Jesus is really saying is when you listen to the thought system in your mind, when you listen to the ego, you do everything it tells you to do. You don't question it. You know, if the ego, if the thought system in your mind says, "I don't like her," oh, you get those feelings of, "Oh, I don't like her." And you never stop and really ask, is it true? You know, do I have to believe that thought? You know, there's no inquiry happening. And what I really love about Jesus's teaching is he's saying that everything that this thought system says to you is a lie. So when the thought system says, "I don't like her," that's a lie. It's not even true. But if you believe it, then of course you experience the emotion of not liking her and all of that. Interestingly, this morning I started another book. The name of this book is Manonasa. And it's Michael Langford's next book. It's going to be coming out in May. He sent it to me to read because I think some of you probably know next Wednesday I'm going to be spending the day with him and he's going to let me interview him. So he thought it might be helpful if I read the book first. It might form some questions or something. So I just started this morning. I read the introduction and chapter 1 and a little bit of chapter 2. But listen to some of the things that Michael Langford says. It really sounds a whole lot like what Jesus was saying. This is in chapter 1 when Michael Langford is talking about his childhood years. And by the way, in this book, when he's referring to the seeker, that the personality prior to awakening, he calls it M. So he says, "When M's body was age 7, M had a thought, an idea, a concept, and a question arose. How do I know for sure that is true? The mind gave an answer, and to that answer, the mind gave M repeated the question, how do I know for sure that is true? M used that inquiry for thousands of ideas, thoughts, beliefs, and concepts throughout M's childhood and teen years. Every thought, idea, concept, and belief ended with, I don't know for sure this is true. Sometimes the mind would keep giving answers for 10 or 20 times before the inquiry finally ended in, I don't know for sure this is true." Now let me just pause right here. It's interesting that this arose for M spontaneously when he was 7 years old. But this is exactly what Jesus was saying when we were reading the Bible. He was saying to the people, you aren't questioning your thoughts. You're just believing them. And so Michael Langford is showing that for some reason this spontaneously arose in him when he was age 7, and he in fact spent his childhood questioning his thoughts. Let me jump ahead a little bit. He talks about how he says, oh, here we go. Let me start reading here. M experienced a lot of suffering and sorrow as a child. That is because other children can sense someone who is very different from them, and many children become very cruel to that which is different. And then he says, the how do I know for sure inquiry made M very different. Because every human M came into contact with was completely under the control of thoughts, ideas, beliefs, and concepts. Due to the how do I know for sure inquiry, M was only a little bit being controlled by thought. So this is exactly the same thing that Jesus was saying, right? He's saying most of you are completely controlled by your thoughts. And all of your thoughts are lies. In fact, in here somewhere, Michael Langford says the same thing about how all of those thoughts are lies, but I'm not going to take the time to look for that right now. But that's right in here in these first chapters, in this first chapter and a half as well. So what Jesus was saying in the Bible is just something that wisdom sees, right? It's just something that wisdom sees. Most people are slaves. In fact, in his book, Michael Langford calls them robots. Most people are slaves or robots to their thoughts. The thoughts come in, they believe the thoughts, they live the thoughts, right? They experience the thoughts, and they never ever practice the inquiry to see if those thoughts were true. So that's our review of the last time we were reading from the Bible. And so what I'm going to do now is the same thing that I always do after the review, is I play a song just so we can become a little bit still, a little bit quiet, a little bit centered. And then we'll continue reading starting with verse 48 in chapter 8. Also, last time I taught, I promised you all the next time I would play a song by Lou Dottie. This is a friend of Carrie's. So the song I'm going to play today is called Be Still, My Heart.
This moment comes, this moment goes. I am awareness, this one who knows. Be still my heart, be still my body, be still my mind. I sit in stillness, my mind at rest. I feel such beauty here inside my breast. Be still my heart, be still my body, be still my mind. Beyond all time, beyond all space, beyond all care, there's a good that knows no opposite. I'll meet you there. And when I leave this mortal plane, I know I'm coming home again. Be still my heart, be still my body, be still my mind. Be still my heart, be still my body, be still my mind. Be still my heart. Be still my body. Be still my mind.
Thank you for that, Udadi. So we're going to begin reading from the Bible at John chapter 8, verse 48. And in my Bible, this next little story has a title called The Claims of Jesus About Himself. So first I'll read the entire story, then we'll go back and look at it. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" Jesus answers, "I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know. Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father, Abraham," this is a very important sentence. I think I hinted towards this sentence the last time. I said I remembered reading it somewhere, but I didn't know where. But here it comes. I'll talk about it in a moment, but this is a very important sentence. "Your father, Abraham, rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. One reason I'm laughing so much is I told you that I read the introduction, chapter 1, and a portion of chapter 2 in Michael Langford's book. And so much of what Jesus just said is in the first part of that book. I just find it incredibly humorous. But let's go back. Fortunately, I have Michael's book right here. Maybe I'll be able to find some of it and read it for you. By the way, I don't think I said this book, Mananasseh, is actually the autobiography of Michael Langford's life. That's what this is. So let's go back and look at some of what Jesus says here. And if I can find how Michael says the same thing in the first part of his book, I will read that. But it's really funny to see the two of them saying the exact same thing. And you know, let me say one more thing. We've already seen this in the Bible. If you've been listening to all of the Guiding Light, then you may remember. If not, this may be new to you. But earlier in John, when Jesus was speaking and being highly criticized, he basically said something like, something to the gist of, you know, "You don't criticize Moses because Moses is a part of your tradition. You criticize me because I'm here now. You see Moses as something special, a part of your tradition, and you do not see me as being worthy of being, you know, I hate to use the word special, but as special as him, because I'm right here among you," right? This is basically what Jesus is saying. Well, now Jesus is a part of our tradition. So it's very easy for us to sit back and listen to someone like Jesus say in his own way, I'm enlightened. And we all shake our head, yeah, he was. But what if somebody stands up that looks just like us, you know, in shorts around our age, just like us, doesn't seem to stand out in any way whatsoever, just a normal guy, and happens to say, I'm enlightened. You know, most people would say, yeah, he's full of it, right? And that's exactly what's happening here in the Bible. See, Jesus was standing around dressed just like them in their time, nothing special at all. In fact, he was a pretty much a homeless guy at this point, right? Nothing special at all in their eyes. And basically what he's saying to them is, I'm enlightened. And they're like, yeah. They pick up stones and they start stoning him. Even though Moses they could put on a pedestal. Abraham they can put on a pedestal. But not the one who is among them. And not that these people want to be put on a pedestal, by the way. I don't want to sound like they do. But they want to be heard. Because what they have to say is helpful to all of us. So it's not that they want to be put on a pedestal. But they want us to listen with a special ear, an ear that's really listening, an ear that's fully paying attention. We saw earlier in the book of John where Jesus was asking us to devour the message, right? That's what they want. They want us to listen with that ear that is devouring the message. And we seem to have a willingness to listen to those who have been dead for hundreds or thousands of years. But sometimes the one that's standing right here among us, we don't want to listen to. They look just like us. Who do they think they are? And that's what Jesus is going through right now with these people that he's talking to. So, and it's also funny. I don't know if y'all remember. This is just funny. They're name calling. They're name calling. They start off by talking to Jesus. They say, aren't we right in saying you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Now, Samaritan was just another group of people that lived in the area. They might even be one of the 12 tribes of Israel. I'd have to look that up. The one we call the Jews, right? I believe they come out of the group called Judas of the 12 tribes of Israel. The Samaritans might have been. Do you know about that? No. I don't know. But I could be wrong. So just scrape all that away. Maybe they weren't one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But the Samaritans lived right there among the Jews. If you were to walk from Jerusalem to Galilee, you walked through the land where the Samaritans lived, right? And the ones called the Jews, the people called the Jews, saw the Samaritans as the scum of the earth, right? This is really racial prejudice, or at least ethnic prejudice. I don't know if there was any racial difference between the two, but at least ethnic prejudice. So the Samaritans, you know, be kind of like us saying the N-word, you know. That's what they're calling Jesus. You know, they're trying to put him down. They're name calling. And so they're calling him a Samaritan, and they're calling him demon-possessed. And he doesn't even respond to the Samaritan comment. And I think the reason he doesn't respond to the Samaritan comment is he doesn't want to in any way enliven that idea of differences among people. In fact, you might remember earlier in John, he sat down and had a lovely conversation with a Samaritan woman. And you might also remember that even his own apostles were shocked that he would sit down and talk to this woman, right? This is how they perceive the Samaritans. But he doesn't even respond to the Samaritan comment. He totally ignores it. He does, however, respond to the demon-possessed. He says, I am not possessed by a demon. And then he says, listen to this, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And when he says, I honor my Father, he's talking about, you know, we would often call it the right mind, but he's talking about the enlightened mind. He's talking about wisdom, clarity. You know, he says, I honor that. And then he says, but you dishonor me. And what he means is you don't trust me. You don't believe me. You're not listening to me with that special ear that could really hear something here that's very, very important for you to hear, right? So I am not listening to the father of lies. I am not confused by a thought system in my mind, you know, that I listen to every day and believe. I have clarity. What I have is very genuine. You can have it too. But you need to listen to me. This is what Jesus is saying. But you need to listen to me. And again, even though we see here that the majority of the crowd was not listening to him, what we don't know is if there was someone there who was. Right? If there was someone there who was listening. And of course, his own apostles were standing around, so they were probably hearing. John must have heard because John was able to write it down later. So he says, I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And then he says, I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. So, I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Now, the word judge here has to be understood a little differently than the way Christians typically understand the word judge. You know, typically when Christians listen to the word judge, they hear, you know, you guys get to go to heaven because you're good and you're saved by Jesus, and you guys get to go to hell because you're bad and you did not accept Jesus as your Savior. That's what people think of as judge. The word judge here simply means, how can I put this into words? It really means clear seeing. Clear seeing. You know, my Father, right, is the one who sees with absolute clarity and knows the difference between reality and bullcrap. You know, reality and illusion. My Father is the one who clearly sees. That's what he means by judge. My Father is the one who clearly sees. He says, I'm not seeking glory for myself. I'm not out here on some ego trip wanting to be put up on a pedestal, wanting you all to worship me, wanting your adoring attention. He says, I don't want all of that, but there is someone who does. There is someone who does, and that's the one who sees clearly, the Father, right? The Father wants you to listen to me. Now, why would the one who sees clearly want you to listen to Jesus or any other enlightened being? And the answer is because the one who sees clearly knows that you are the same as that one, knows how confused you are, and knows that you need to start this process in order to awaken. Yeah, Kathy says, because I don't see clearly yet. Exactly. That's why. So the one who sees clearly wants to glorify, wants you to maybe even for a time see as special. If you do see this one as special for a time, eventually you will have to transcend that. That can't last. But sometimes that's where we start, is by seeing the enlightened one as special. And the benefit that serves is we listen. We listen. Now, we can't stay in that relationship with the enlightened one where the enlightened one is special because we have to get to equality, right? But sometimes that's a great, great, great first step. Although no one has what we do not all have, we are not all awakened to it yet. And if we're stuck listening to lies in our mind all of the time, right? My mind says, I don't like her and I believe it. You know, my mind says, I hate him and I believe it and I'm all caught up in that. I do need to start listening to something else. Being addicted to my mind is not going to be helpful. Being addicted to the ego thought system isn't going to get me anywhere. I do need to start listening to something else. And it's great when there's spontaneous clarity within and we can start listening to that. But that doesn't actually happen for most people. It happens for some, but it doesn't actually happen for most people. So where do most of us start listening to a clear thought system in what appears to be outside of us? Whether it's a book or whether it's a teacher. It's something that appears to be outside of us. And so sometimes these things that appear to be outside of us, in order to capture our attention, appear up on a little pedestal for a while. We have to overcome that. But that gets us to pay attention. So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm not at all interested in being glorified. I don't want to stand here and be the teacher. I don't need you to call me rabbi. But you do need that. You do need that right now. Because you're stuck listening to something else that's not at all helpful. It would be much better off for a time if you would turn your ear and listen to me. Right? That's going to lead you to awakening to your true self. So again, he says, I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge, meaning the clear seer, right? He knows what's going on here. And then he says, I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Right? That's a promise of awakening. If you listen to what I say, practice what I say, you will awaken. And he's promising. He starts that sentence off with, I tell you the truth. Right? That's like a promise. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. You know, so it's just reminding me then of what we saw Jesus saying in the previous verses in the Bible and what I read to you this morning from Michael Langford's book. You know, they're each asking us to question our thoughts, inquire into them. This is the same as Martha Creek has been telling us in the mini-series that we just finished, right? Let's see, Michael Langford, the question that spontaneously arose in him is really the same as one of the four questions that spontaneously arose in Byron Katie. How do I know for sure that is true, right? Starting at age 7, he would inquire into a thought, how do I know for sure that is true? You know, the thought comes in, I don't like her. How do I know for sure that is true, right? How many of us do that? Honestly, you don't have to put up your hand. But honestly, okay, how many of us do that? And how many of us just believe all of the thoughts that come into our mind? Jesus is saying here, I tell you the truth. He's promising. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. If you start questioning your thoughts, right? Plus, he also earlier in the book of John taught people to meditate. So we have at least two practices he shared with us in the book of John, meditation and inquiry. If you practice meditation and you practice inquiry and you do it with your, let's see, what are the words he uses back here in John chapter 3? Oh, I don't think I can find it quickly, and I don't like to spend too much time looking for things, but you guys will know this. It's with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and all your strength, something like that, right? Think about that. If you practice meditation and you inquire into your thoughts instead of just believing them, right? Ask, how do I know for sure this is true? And you do this with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and all of your strength, I promise you, you will never see death. You will awaken. This is what Jesus is saying. But, of course, the ones listening did not see Jesus as special at a time when maybe temporarily they needed to. You know, enough to say, well, this guy's got something here that he's saying that I want to listen to. You know, this guy's... Not that he's got something I don't have, but even temporarily, you might need to see it that way, right? This guy's got something there, you know? In fact, many of you have probably heard me say that that's kind of how I started the spiritual path. I started the spiritual path when I read about Peace Pilgrim, her life and works in her own words. There were two things that really influenced me onto the spiritual path from Peace Pilgrim. One was that I didn't see her different than me, And the way that worked for me was, if she can do it, I can too. It kind of gave me that confidence, right? If she can do it, I can too. But then the other was that I knew that she could see something, that she knew something that I didn't know. I knew she knew something to be a truth, a fact, that I didn't know. And you see, that was needed in order to get me started. If I had seen her completely just like me, meaning no different at all, her ego thoughts are the same as my ego thoughts, she's just a liar, you know, blah, 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 blah. If I had seen her as not at all different from me, I would have never listened. So even though ultimately we're awakening to oneness, we all have the same, we all are the same, sometimes it is helpful to say, wow, he's got something I don't have, or he knows something I don't know, and I should listen, right? In fact, I think Jan Fraser says this in her first book, When Fear Falls Away, near the end of the book. It seems like she says something like that most people don't know anything. You know, they think they do. But most people don't know anything. And then she says, but there are a few people who do know something. And when you come across one of them, you should sit down and listen. That's what she says. That's what Jesus is saying here as well. And that's how Michael Langford starts his book as well, his new book. In fact, he says, listen to this. This will probably sound familiar to most of you. He says, almost 100% of those surveyed would answer that anyone who claims to have attained the same enlightenment as the Buddha could not have attained the same enlightenment as the Buddha, because the very fact that they made the claim proves they have not attained the same enlightenment as the Buddha. They think that someone who has attained the same enlightenment as the Buddha would never make that claim. And then he says, spiritual seekers are like programmed robots who follow such ideas without ever wondering about their validity. Here we have Jesus, although he's not referring to the Buddha, but here we have Jesus really claiming that not only is he enlightened, but that if you listen to him, you too can become enlightened. And in fact, Michael Langford goes on to list in his book, he quotes Buddha as basically saying he attained the final enlightenment. He quotes Annamalai Swami as saying that he attained the final enlightenment, only he calls the language for him as abiding in the self. He quotes Muruganar. He quotes Nisargadatta. You know, he says there are sages who have attained the final enlightenment. And when they say it, they're just stating a fact. He says the real reason, the real problem is that, you know, a lot of people will say that when it's not true for them. So just because someone says it doesn't mean it's true for them. And he says, but sometimes there are people who have attained the final enlightenment, and when they say it, right? And if our intuition really is paying attention, our intuition will know, I would say, the one who is genuine from the one who is not. And if we're lucky enough to come across a genuine teacher who is able to say, I do know, I have attained the final enlightenment, in whatever words they say, and now here's what you need to know, we should listen. And in fact, I think Sunday night we might have that opportunity right here in the sanctuary. I think Sunday night we have Ellie Ruzdar coming to talk to us at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Ellie Ruzdar does not typically talk to people, but through Lynn, we have been able to share with her that we are very genuine, that we are truly interested in awakening, that we aren't just these spiritual robots playing some kind of a spiritual game. And so she has agreed to come and talk to us once. Hear that? Once. We get one opportunity. So this is a time when we should, I think, if you'll pardon the expression, shut up and listen, right? And that doesn't mean don't ask a question if you have a genuine question. You know, the question could be very useful. But to spend all of our time, you know, if we in our minds talking about, oh yeah, well I do that too, yeah, well I'm enlightened too, yeah, well I, you know, spend all our time chattering and not listening or poo-pooing her. Who does she think she is telling us that she's awakened, right? Jesus is telling us right now that we're missing an opportunity. That we're missing an opportunity. Now, again, Jesus also talks in the Bible about those wolves in sheep's clothing. So just because somebody says they are enlightened, that doesn't mean that they are. And so we do have to invoke our own intuition to feel what is genuine and what isn't. But when we come across something that feels genuine, that's when we want to listen, right? And this is Jesus' teaching right here. Listen. So again, he says, I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death, right? And then, as the story goes, at this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know you're demon-possessed. Right? If you're going to stand here and tell us you're enlightened and that we can never taste death, that we can wake up if we listen to you, we know you're full of crap. they say Abraham died and so did the prophets, and these are the ones they hold as special. Remember, they hold them as special, but Jesus is just some guy, right? Just some guy. Abraham died and so did the prophets, yet you say if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. How egotistical. And, you know, again, Michael Langford says the same thing in the opening of his book. He says he knows, even before this book is published, he knows that it's going to be criticized. He knows that people aren't going to like it. But he's publishing it for the few who want to listen, right? Let me see if I can find that part of it. I love reading exactly what he said. Okay, he says, I'll just start here. This might be a little before what I want to share, but that's okay. He says, humans only see what the ego mind allows humans to see. The ego mind is not going to allow most humans to see the truth of the contents in this book. The contents of the book you are now reading is going to cause a negative ego reaction in most people. Eventually, there are going to be many negative reviews of this book. This is known now, before this book has been published. Humans are like a programmed machine. If certain buttons are pushed, there will be a predictable negative reaction. It would have been easy to change the statements in this book that are going to cause the most negative ego reaction. That one in a million spiritual seeker in whom the desire to end the imposter self is greater than the desire to continue the imposter self deserves a book with the truth. They deserve a book that does not change the contents for the purpose of causing less of an ego reaction. That one in a million spiritual aspirant will love the contents of this book. For them, it will be like a breath of fresh air. This book was written for those one in a million spiritual aspirants. The contents of this book have not been changed to produce less of a negative ego reaction in the majority of humans. A small number of people will see great value in this book. All right, so very much like what Jesus is telling us now and what we're experiencing right here in the Bible. He went through the exact same thing. And so, again, as the Jews, at this the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed, right? That he's getting the predictable human reaction, right? Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. And then they say, are you greater than our father, Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. You know, so if I was here trying to get you all to listen to me, because I wanted you all to listen to me, 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 because I want to be put on a pedestal, because I want to be worshipped, then everything I say would have no value whatsoever, right? If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Again, the one who sees clearly is the one who really wants you to listen. Though you do not know him, I know him. Though you do not know him, I know him. This is another way that Jesus is saying, I have the direct experience of awakening, of enlightenment, of abiding in self, right? I have that experience. You do not. All of your resistance, all of your laughter, laughing at me as, you know, an oddball, all of your hatred, that's all coming from your ego thought system, right? But I know the truth. I know God. I know self-realization. I know awakening. I know enlightenment. And again, he's not saying this to glorify himself. He's saying this so that that one in a million seeker that Michael Langford is talking about will recognize and listen. Jesus, I don't think, even cares if he ever meets this person. There could be somebody out there in the crowd, in the back of the crowd, that Jesus doesn't even have eye contact with, who is listening. And at the end of the day, that one walks away changed. And that one begins seeking within. That one begins questioning his thoughts. He never even meets Jesus again. Jesus doesn't want people to listen so that he is glorified. He wants people to listen just because he knows it's in their best interest. He says, though you do not know him, meaning the Father, I know him. So here's Jesus again claiming enlightenment. If I said, oh, I love this part. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. Right? And that's just like what Michael Langford is saying in the front of his book. He says, you know, when people like Nisargadatta, Muru Ganar, Ramana Maharshi, you know, when these people say in whatever way they do, I am enlightened, I am awakened, I am self-realized, right? He says they're just stating the fact. They're not trying to get anything from you. You know, they're just stating a fact. And here we have Jesus saying the same thing. If I said I did not, I would be a liar. You know, I'm just stating a fact. It's that simple. Though you do not know the Father, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. I not only know him, but that's the only, if you want to call it a thought system, I actually don't think it's truly a thought system, but we'll go with those words right now. That's the only thought system I pay attention to, right? In A Course in Miracles, it says Jesus, through great willingness, finally learned to listen to only one voice, right? And that's what he's saying here. That's the only voice I listen to. I don't listen to the ego anymore. And in fact, that's why Jesus has such a strong teaching. Just like Michael Langford says in the beginning of his book, basically, I know people are going to reject this. He says, but I'm not going to soften it in order to avoid the criticism. I'm going to tell it like it is for the few who will listen, right? Jesus is doing the same thing, right? He only listens to that one voice. He's not worried about the reactions he's getting from people. That would be the ego. Oh, no, it's a little too strong, Jesus. They're picking up stones. You better start saying something different, something they're going to like more. Right? He doesn't listen to that. He only listens to the right mind. Right? He only listens to the wisdom. He speaks the truth, and it doesn't matter whether he gets rejected by the vast majority of people. Right, and some of you may know, after I wrote NTI John, actually I think it's while I was writing NTI John, I had a vision, and in this vision I was in a crowd of people listening to Jesus 2,000 years ago. And in this vision, I was a man. I was a Jewish man, middle-aged. And I don't know exactly who I was, except I do know I was very respectable. And that's kind of important to the vision. People respected my judgment, and I respected my judgment based on everything we thought in our culture. I was a respectable person. Maybe I was a merchant or something like that. I wasn't a rabbi. But I was a respectable person with good judgment. And I'm standing there in the crowd listening to Jesus, and Jesus is up there just saying all kinds of stuff, you know, speaking the truth, and I'm listening to Jesus. And this thought that crosses my mind is, he seems like a nice guy, but he's as crazy as a lunatic. This is what I thought as this, Jewish man of that time. And as soon as I had that thought, I came out of the vision. And when I came out of the vision, I heard Holy Spirit say to me, that's what I want you to be. And what he meant was crazy as a lunatic. And what he meant was listening to only one voice. Not being concerned about people's reactions to what you say. Not being concerned about whether they like the message or not. Not being concerned about whether they like you or not. Yes, the Fool on the Hill, Beatles song. Yeah, crazy as a lunatic. And do you think, those of you who have read I Am That by Nisargadatta, can you for half a second think that Nisargadatta was saying what he was saying because he wanted people to like him? Heck no. He said stuff that made people's heads spin. Right? They couldn't even begin to fathom what he's saying when he's saying, I don't have a body. People don't understand what this man is saying. He's not speaking so that they can understand. Right? He's speaking the truth. And he knows that very few are going to listen. Right? But he still speaks the truth as it comes to him. In fact, another thing that Nisargadatta said was that he's not even speaking. The speaking is just happening. You'll often hear me call that spontaneity, right? We had a teaching here a few weeks ago from the book of John where Jesus was talking about the same thing. But it's not me, it's not my words, it's the Father's words, right? You may, because it seems to be coming through the Regina body or the Jesus body or the Nisargadatta body, you might think that I'm looking at you and I'm thinking about you and I'm delivering a message to you. That's not happening. The talking is just happening. The speaking is just happening, right? That's the lunatic. That's the fool on the hill. There's no calculating person planning a message, right? Just what is coming through is what is coming through, and it's being absolutely trusted. So, Jesus is saying, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word, right? That's the only thing coming through me is whatever's coming through spontaneity, right? Then he says, remember they had said to him, Abraham died and so did the prophets, yet you say that anyone who keeps your word will never taste death. Okay, so now Jesus addresses this. Oh, listen to this. I love this sentence. I think very few people even know this sentence is in the Bible. Are you ready for this? Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. Now, I want you to know, if you know anything about the Bible at all, this is long before Abraham was long before any idea of a Messiah rose up in the mind of the Jews. So he can't be talking about Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing the Messiah. That thought hadn't been born yet. Right? This is long before they went to Egypt and were enslaved for 400 years. Right? So what is he talking about when he says Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day? He's talking about awakening. Do you all remember what I told you about Abraham last time we talked? Abraham, as far as it's recorded, and for some reason Noah doesn't count. I don't know why. But if we ignore Noah, Abraham is the first one to listen to inner spiritual wisdom, to listen to the voice for God. As far as I can tell, Noah did too. But Abraham came along much later. When Abraham came along, they weren't called the Jews yet, by the way, but we'll call them the Jews. When Abraham came along, all of those people who were the ancestors of the Jews, they worshipped multiple gods, statues, a kitchen god, a fertility god, and I don't know whatever other else gods. And they were literally god makers. This was a job you could have. You could be a god maker, which, of course, made the statues. And people would go and buy their gods from the god maker. Right? And then Abraham comes along, and he starts hearing a voice that claims to be the only true God. Nobody at this point knew anything about one God. Nobody at this point knew anything about hearing inner voices, right? It would have been perfectly acceptable if Abraham had declared himself insane based on his culture and his time. But he didn't. He listened to this voice, even though this voice asked him to do something incredibly insane, which is take your family and your servants and leave this place and go to a land that I will give you. And then this voice leads Abraham and his family and his servants around for years and years and years, and they never come to this land. And then, you know, Abraham's wife and everybody else starts saying, you know, maybe Abraham, maybe you're just crazy. You know, the nicest way that I can say this, maybe you're just crazy and maybe you should quit listening to this voice that claims to be the only true God. But Abraham never quits listening to this voice, right? He never quits listening to this voice. Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. Somehow Abraham must have known within himself that this voice could lead him all the way to, he wouldn't have known this word, enlightenment, to seeing clearly, to truth realization, right? But that's only the first half of the sentence. Listen to the last half of the sentence. This is Jesus speaking. Many people think Jesus was the first one enlightened. Many people in the Course in Miracles community like to go around saying, not even Buddha was really awake. Jesus was the first one, right? Listen to what Jesus says. He says, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. And then he says, he saw it and he was glad. He's claiming that Abraham woke up. That Abraham followed that voice so far, he followed it all the way to awakening. Long before Buddha, right? Now, some people may say, well, you know, but, you know, it says in, you know, this book and that book that that's not true. You know, Jesus was the first enlightened one. You know, Jesus says, I am the voice of the atonement. By the way, I've always read that very carefully. I am the voice of the atonement. Right? Not Jesus is, I am. But let's look back at Michael Langford's book, because Michael Langford addressed this in the early part of his book too. He talks about, as a child, he was raised by a father who was an atheist and a mother who was an agnostic. And as a result, there were no religious books around his house. He was not taught anything spiritual growing up. And then after he tells that, he says, if you were going to begin to list what factors led to manonasa, that basically means awakening. If you listen to my 7 steps teaching, you may have heard me say once that really means mind death. But as Michael Langford says, the word awakening is a lot softer than mind death. I'll read it, awakening right now. If you were going to begin to list what factors lead to awakening, meaning what factors in M's life, in his autobiography, you could begin with, because M had never been taught anything about any religious or spiritual path, M was not biased towards any particular path when he began to study almost all of the different spiritual paths. Now listen to this. He says, people who are raised with a particular spiritual path are almost always biased towards that type of spirituality. Usually people are not aware of their biases or how their bias is affecting their decisions. So maybe one reason that some Course students like to claim that Jesus was the first truly awakened being is because they're biased towards Jesus because of the Christian culture. And if so, that would be spiritual students just adopting ideas that they like as opposed to truth. And here we've got Jesus saying, long before A Course in Miracles, long before Gary Renard's book, what's Gary Renard's book called? Disappearance of the Universe, right? Long before those books, we have Jesus saying, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Right? Jesus isn't claiming to be the first awakened one. And then they say to him, you are not yet 50 years old. Because they don't understand what he's talking about, right? You're not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham. Now, first of all, he didn't say he had seen Abraham. He didn't say that. He said, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Right? He didn't say, I saw Abraham. But, you know, they're hearing it the way they hear it. So they say, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Now, this answer you guys are probably familiar with, because this is one of the most famous answers that Jesus ever gave to any question. He says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Oh, by the way, who is the voice of the atonement? I am. That doesn't say Jesus, right? That says, I am the voice of the atonement. Before Abraham was, I am, right? And, you know, maybe Jesus knows that Abraham wasn't even the first one to awaken, right? This I am has always been here, and people have always been awakening to it. Before Abraham was, I am, right? And of course, people are misunderstanding the I to refer to the body of this guy who's standing there talking to them, who's nobody special. He's just a lunatic. But Jesus is speaking a very deep truth. Not only that, the I am he's referring to, that is what we are. And remember what Jesus said before. He said, I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And based on the two practices we have so far from the book of John, there may be more to come. He's saying, if you meditate, and if you inquire into your thoughts instead of just believing them, you will awaken the same way I awakened, huh? And the same way Abraham awakened. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, let's see. Michael Langford said that, you know, people are going to criticize this book. He knows that even before it's published. Listen to what happened to Jesus. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. So there we go. A wonderful little teaching from both Jesus and Michael Langford sharing the same truth. And I'm sure you guys know, I mean, none of us know this for a fact, but I'm sure you know in your intuition that Michael Langford in the introduction, the first chapter and a half of his book, did not go and study the words of Jesus and then copy them, right? He's saying the same thing as Jesus because they see the same way, right? They see the same way. So the question for us to ask ourselves then, especially with Elie Ruzdahr coming on Sunday night, is when we are given the opportunity to listen, are we willing to listen? Heck, you know what I would recommend? But this is just for me. Maybe you all aren't the same. But I know I listen a whole lot better when I take notes. I don't take notes so that I can study them. In fact, I think it's an error to try to intellectually learn this stuff. I'll take notes and never look at my notes again, right? I'm not studying them. Or maybe there'll be one thing she said and I'll want to go back and glance at that one thing. But I don't study the notes. But I take notes because in order to write the notes, I really have to be listening. Yeah? So maybe we could take notes on Sunday night just to listen, not to study, right? So I want to say thank you to Jesus. And I want to say thank you to Michael Langford for giving us this wonderful teaching prior to Eli Ruzdar coming. I also want to thank Eli Ruzdar. I would have given this teaching last week, except Pal Talk wasn't working, so let's thank Pal Talk. Eli Ruzdar would have been here before the teaching, except she happened to get the flu, so let's thank the flu. Michael Langford's book just came in the mail yesterday. So because of the way everything worked out, we now have all of the pieces perfect. We have this teaching prior to Ellie's arrival, and we'll be able to listen to Ellie with the ears that Jesus wants us to listen with.